So turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Very good morning to brothers and sisters in Christ. First of all, I must thank Reverend and Dr. Jeffrey Koo, as well as the session, to give me the opportunity to come and share the Word of God with all the brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning, my topic is pleasing God, from the first verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, the passage that we have seen here was about how Paul was writing to the Christians at Thessalonica, that how they should walk in the way of God. Now, once there was a young man who had studied violin under a great master for many years, and he was ready in order to go out to perform in a concert. And I think the concert was filled. The concert hall was filled with audiences and so forth. Many people were looking forward to listen to this young violinist to perform. And so he did so well that very particular concert. And there was a great applause. Many people stood up in order to appreciate what his playing was and so forth. And unfortunately, I think this one young man, though seeing the people all stood up, he was not too happy. How come that this young man was not happy? I think because why? He looked backward to the side of the stage, seeing that his master was there trying to look at him and see how he performed. But his master was very gloomy and very sad, something like that. So this young man was not happy, in spite of people clapping and all. Later on, when the master smiled, and this young man was very happy. Why? His main aim was to please the master, not to please the crowd, but to please the master. And so I think the Apostle Paul was trying to exhort the Christians at Thessalonica, telling them that the only thing that they should do is to what? To please God. To please God. I think Thessalonica was a church that was founded by the Apostle Paul during his second missionary journey. And in Acts chapter 17, we are able to see how he arrived at Thessalonica. It was a church that stood in the middle of many heathens. The people there were full of worshipping of heathen gods and so forth. Now, they practiced a lot of sexual immorality, especially pagan culture of Rome, and ranged from prostitution, cow prostitution, and sexual abuses of slaves and mistresses and so forth. So Paul opposed to this kind of behavior in the among the heathen. He was trying to teach the church how they should please God in order to prevent this thing cropping into the church. So in the epistle of Ephesians chapter 4:1, Paul also said that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The word walk is just like Chinese word seeing. Seeing, it means that you walk. Literally, you're walking hand by hand with someone else. But it does mean also your behavior. The way that you behave, the way that you do things, is called walk. So over here, Paul was trying to tell them that you should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Also in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said the same thing. He said, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. What the Apostle Paul was trying to teach the Thessalonians was that you people are Christians, and you should what? You should behave like you are Christians. You should not follow according to the heathen, practicing a lot of sexual immoralities and so forth. If that is so, you are not able to please God. Of course, there are many other ways that we are able to please God. I think that was not the only way that Paul was trying to exhort the Thessalonians. Now, what are the other ways that we are not able to please God? Sometimes we see that people who live for themselves and do not care about other people, they cannot please God. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, Paul said to the Romans, we ought not to please ourselves, for even Christ pleased not himself. It is very natural for human beings to care about themselves. We often are selfish people. Our children, our occupation, our house, our comfort, and everything, we care for ourselves. Whether other people are in destitute or despair, we do not care. We care only for what? For ourselves. But Paul said, we ought not to please ourselves, for even Christ pleased not himself. Self is a god that many worship. We worship self, and we don't worship God. We do not care about others, but only ourselves. As long as I live well, I eat well, I live comfortably, that is what I care. Why should I care about others? But if that is so, we are not able to please God. Because the Bible says so. It is not I who say, but the Bible says. The second thing is that sometimes we not only care for ourselves. People who seek to please men will not be able to please God. Today we see in the ecclesiastical world, there are many people who look for people who are powerful. And then when the group is bigger, the bigger the better. The bigger the stronger. So I should go to the strong one. When there's a small group, I do not care about them. Now that becomes what? Because we want to please the people who are inside the big group. We have a pastor from Malaysia who is our co-worker as well. And it's so unfortunate that he was trained in the FEBC. Now he became a pastor helped by Reverend Toh in many, many ways. Even the church is being supported and so forth. But eventually, today he has turned around. Because why? He looked for the stronger group and stronger side in order to defeat the weaker one. That is why we seek to please men and not to please God. Sometimes we are afraid of men. We are trying to please men. But we don't see that we are not pleasing God in that way. Whenever there's something right, we should seek to please that particular person. But when it's wrong, we are not supposed to do that. So people who seek to please men will not please God. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 verse 4, Paul said, look not every man on his own things, but every man on things of others. Now in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, Paul said, do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul himself was doing like that. sometimes when people are wrong, he tried to rebuke rather than to please that particular person. So we should not please men, even though they are powerful or whatever it is. When they are wrong, we cannot please them. When they are right, of course we will support. The third thing is that people who are in the flesh cannot please God. I've just told you that the church at Thessalonica are very inclined, or rather influenced, by the heathens in that city, because the people used to have Roman culture and so forth, and their culture is that they've got sexual immorality, sexual abuses and so forth. And Paul was trying to tell them, you cannot do it like that. That is what? That is lust and flesh. That is lust and flesh. So people who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Romans 8:8-9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Ye are not in the flesh, in the spirit. Christians are not in the flesh, but should be in the spirit. So it is when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. In chapter 4 verse 24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are always in the spirit, we cannot be in the flesh. Though no doubt we live and eat and walk and so forth, but we must always be what? In the spirit of God. Since we are the children of God, we must be in the spirit. So this is exactly what Paul was trying to tell the Thessalonians in chapter 1 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 1 to verse 8. The whole section tells you about the sexual immorality of the people there, and they should be separated from them. Fourthly, those without faith cannot please God. Now we come to church, and sometimes we believe that God will do this thing and will do that thing for us. But if you do not have faith, you won't. You cannot expect God to answer our prayer. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. The word of God says that without faith, it's not possible to please God, to please God. The whole chapter 11 of Hebrews tells us of faith in God. How faith in God, how the patriarchs and how the saints and how the people, all they had faith in God. And so we need to have faith in order to please him. Sometimes in our world, we always trust in him, but we must have faith. If you do not have faith, you will not be able to get an answer from God. Now let us see the positive side. How are we able to please God? Since we have seen there are many factors and that will affect us from not pleasing God. But now let us see about what can we do in order to please God. In 1 Kings chapter 3 verses 9-10 tells us concerning about Solomon in Gibeon. King Solomon at that time was an heir to the, he became the king succeeding King David when King David was called to the Lord. He was a young man. He was a young man. And so at the night when the Lord appeared to him, saying that, what can I do for you? Certainly if you and I were like King Solomon, I would have asked, Lord, I'm a young man, I need a lot of money, I need a lot of power, I need a lot of any things that so as I will be able to rule my country. The Bible tells us what in First Kings chapter 3 verse 9 to 10, King Solomon said, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge such a great people?" And the speech pleased the Lord. Alright, notice the word, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, one very important thing is that, how are we able to please God? When we ask the right thing, God will be very pleased. So often that we ask for our own need. And some people, I don't know whether Christians are doing that, say, I bought a 4-digit, and then I pray to God that God will answer my prayer and let me have the first prize and so forth. I tell you, God will not answer your prayer. God will not be pleased with what you ask for. Because why? You're asking the wrong thing. You're asking the thing, something which is contrary to your faith and belief. But King Solomon asked the right thing from God. He said, "God, give me wisdom so that I may be able to rule such a big country. I am inexperienced. I do not have the experience. So I need what? Need wisdom in order to rule this country." I think God was very pleased. You know what happened was that God not only answered his prayer, but God said, "You only asked this thing, but I will give you what? Riches and life and long life, riches and even the lives of your enemies. I will give them all to you. For those things that you have not asked for it, I will give it to you too." Beloved, I think so often in our prayer, do we ever consider what we ask from God? Is it the right thing that we ask from Him? It's so often that we ask the wrong thing, and as a result we blame God for not answering our prayer. But King Solomon here asked for the right thing, and the Bible says, and the speech pleased the Lord. Second thing, how are we going to please the Lord? Those who separate themselves for God can please Him. Now, if we are on the side of God, I believe that God will be very pleased. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, Paul was saying to Timothy, or middle-aged Timothy, he was about 30 over, rather than young Timothy. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." We are all chosen to be soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we still not be fully committed to Him. We should be fully committed to Him. Now, I often see that sometimes when the pastors, he work as a pastor, then sometimes he goes out there to become an insurance agent and so forth, and he becomes to be another employed by another work. That is not fully committed to the Lord. One who has been called by the Lord, whether you are a layman or whosoever you are, you may be just only an ordinary Christian, but you are called to the Lord, you should be what? Should be committed to Him. Now, during the war between Napoleon and Lord Wellington, there was a soldier serving under Lord Wellington. One day when the soldier heard that the father was very ill, so he went to see Lord Wellington, said, "Lord, may I take my leave to see my father," and so forth. But the battle was won. I think Lord Wellington was very unhappy. What he said is that, go and what? Go, stay or go, stay or go. That means to say, you either stay in the army or you either go, you leave. When we are for the Lord, I think we should be like that. We should be separated and stay with the Lord, or either we leave. Now, thirdly, those who walk with God will please Him. Are we walking with Him? That's what Paul was saying to the Thessalonians. Say, you must walk. Walk, of course, does not mean literally walking hand by hand. I repeat that again. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. To walk with God means that he is doing things, and everything that he did was according to the will of what? According to the will of God. That means to say, he walked with God. But if he walks contrary to what God wanted him to do, then he would not be walking with God. But what is the result of Enoch walking with God? See, God took him. The Bible says God took him. But here in Hebrews chapter 11, again, verse 5, Hebrews says that Enoch walked with God, that in that way he pleased God. He pleased God. The Bible says he pleased God when he walked with God. Now, to repeat the word walk again, I say that it's not hand in hand walking with God, but whatever we hear, whatever we read from the Bible, not only like that, but we must what? Must do it. We must do it. That is not walking with God. Walking with God means that we agree to obey His will, His commandments, and carry them out. That is very, very important. Finally, those who praise God and thank Him will please Him. Sometimes they see that praising God means nothing. It's just a choir singing and that's all. But it has something very important. Because in the Word of God, in Psalm chapter 69, Psalm 69, verse 30-31, the psalmist said, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Here it says that praise and thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord better. This shall please the Lord better. So in a service, we ought not only listen to the sermon. We don't only listen to the announcement. We also sing praises unto God. And also we thank God for that. So it is a thing that God wants you and me to do. Those who praise God and thank Him will please Him. I will praise the name of the Lord, of God, with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that has horns and hoofs. A believer must always be able to give praise and thanks. Sometimes when you are in sad mood, still you must be able to do that. Do not think that when I am sad, then I don't have to praise God. You must give thanks to the Lord, whether in adverse condition or in a whatever God had done good for you. We know that all things work for good to them that love God. Whether it be good or bad, all things work for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So, beloved, as we see what we must do in order to please God, now, what reward can we have when we please God? Now, when people are trying to please God, what can we get from there? In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, it says, our enemies shall be at peace with us. Our enemies shall be at peace with us. It says that when a man's way pleases the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When our behavior and whatever we do please the Lord, He will make our enemies be with peace with us. Our prayers will always be answered. 1 John chapter 3 verse 22 says that, "And whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do things that are pleasing in His sight." You see, the Bible says that when we are doing something that pleases the Lord, whatever we ask, we will what? Receive of Him. And finally, it says that our names will be everlasting. Our names will be everlasting. Isaiah chapter 56 verse 4 to 5. The prophet says, "For thou saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." That's a Chinese saying that when the tiger dies, the skin is so precious, must be preserved. But when a man dies, his name shall be everlasting. It is so important. This is a promise by God. And it's better than what? Better than any other thing. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our daily lives, are we at all times living a way that pleases God? Are we at all times working with God so that we are able to please Him? What is our main aim in living in this world? Is our main aim is to have comfort, to live well, to have all the things that we desire and so forth? I think that's not right. In the world, we can only live about 70 or 80 years. Then you'll be gone forever. You cannot take all this comfort and everything with you. No, you can't do that. But there's one thing with God. We must be able to please God, which is more important than any other thing. We should obey the word of God as spoken through the Apostle Paul, that we ought to walk according to what God wants us to do so as to please Him. Are we pleasing God day by day in our lives? Let me ask you, are we pleasing God in our lives? Or are we not pleasing God? May the Lord help each and every one of us that we will day by day always please God in whatever we do, so that we may have all the rewards that He is promising you and me. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again for being able to be here and also to meditate upon Thy word. Lord, sometimes in our lives we often do some things that will not please Thee. Forgive us because of all this, and help us that we may always do and walk in Thy way in order to please Thee. We thank Thee once again for Thy word, and may Thy word be a lamp unto our path and a light unto our path as well. All this we thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.